130, first and last. God will take care of you. This is my father's world. Only two? Okay, fine. I'm not there yet, so. Yeah, I guess that would do it.
Descend upon your life and be.
time for one more. Someone else have a favorite? Somebody? Lori?
How about 351?
351, a couple of pages over.
1 and 4.
1 and 4.
Thank you. Thank you, Colleen. Good morning and welcome to the United Methodist Church of Yucaipa, the House of Faith. It's great to see everyone. And thanks for everyone joining us on Zoom this morning. So we will start out with a few announcements. Please remember to fill out the red pew pad with your attendance today so we know who's here. And we'll start out with the February birthdays. So we have Carol Pastilli, Sharon Kelsey, Phillips Wang, and Lorraine Popejoy. So please wish them a happy birthday, and shall we sing to them?
Well, they'll have to sing again because I was back in there.
We can do that. Okay. The February newsletter is available in the Narthex, so please pick one up as you leave. Or if you would like to receive it in email, please contact the office and they can send it to you. The next pastor's luncheon will take place on Valentine's Day, February 14th at noon. And this is held at the Legend 8 Chinese restaurant in Cala Mesa. And the cost is $15 per person. If you're going to come, please sign up in the fellowship hall so that they can arrange to have the proper amount of food for everybody. And we're looking at the Good Samaritan Fund. Please give money or a Stater's script card. The money is used to help those less fortunate with their food needs. And yes, we are the cereal church. So if you can, please donate a few boxes of cereal, canned goods, or other food items. You can even donate a Stater script card if you so wish. And they'll bring it over to the ICSC at the end of the month. And Stephen Mickel is looking for those gently used casual clothes for the prison inmates that are being released. Next is the Hearts Grow. This is held on the second and fourth Sunday, so not today, but next Sunday. Children can come before the sermon and stay until the end of fellowship time, and of course, parents are welcome to join. And then if you like to quilt, crochet, knit, craft or create. They're having an event to put it together with friends in the Matthews Room. The next meeting will be February 17th from 9:30 a.m. to 4 p.m. Bring a lunch and then whatever you need to work on your project. It's a great time for socializing and being creative. And then if you like to read, we have a book club here. They meet in the Camellia Room and on Zoom. The next meeting will be February 20th at 10 a.m. And the February 20th book is Lessons in Chemistry. I know my wife Lori read this and really liked it. I suggest that you join in if you're so interested. And then there'll be other books throughout the next 4 months, it looks like, at least that are scheduled so far. And our next free Saturday movie will be held March 2nd at 11 a.m. The name of the movie is Ever After. It will be held in Faith Theater 2. And that is all we have for announcements, I believe. Anybody else? No? So please stand as you're able and join me now in the call to worship. Fear not, for I have redeemed you. I have summoned you by name. You are mine.
When you pass through the waters, I will be with you.
And when you pass through the rivers, they will not sweep over you.
You are precious and honored in my sight because I love you.
Remain standing as you can for our opening hymn, number 156, I love to tell the story. Standing, it is time to pass the peace.
Peace be with you.
As we return to our seats, let's get ready for the sharing of joys and concerns. Please raise your hand if you have a joy or concern you'd like to share with us, and Deb will bring you the mic.
Before we do that, let's... Some are still going wild down there.
We're a wild party crowd.
I'd like to recognize some of the folks that have come in via Zoom. So, hello, Helen. Always love to see you. And again, we'd like to hear from you once more. Like maybe, I don't know whether you can turn the microphone on.
Not yet.
Or if you can later on, you maybe some other Sundays, we'd like to hear from you, Helen, see how you're doing.
I can do Zoom when I get back there.
Okay, you can do that too. Yeah, great. Or Deb can turn the microphone on for you. Well, welcome, Jean and Brian, maybe. Jeanine. June and Joyce, welcome. And Bill and April, so good to see you. We have one on iPad, and welcome Alicia. And we have one on phone line. Wherever you are, may God be with you this morning.
Good morning. I want to let you know first that Jean Jackson is on hospice, and she's with her daughter's house, but she is not speaking or responding much, so please pray for her that she will have an easy transition if that's her time.
Well, tomorrow's finally the big day. Lorraine checks in tomorrow morning at UCLA Medical Center at 11 o'clock, and her surgery is scheduled for 12:30. We have to stay over. We're going to be there, so we're there first thing in the morning. We're staying over there tonight and Monday night also, because Tuesday they have to evaluate how the surgery is doing and make any adjustments if necessary. We're hoping to get out of there early Tuesday so we can beat some of the traffic coming home. And the I'll say person, because she's a person to us, that this is going to affect the most is little Sophie. When Lorraine has that radioactive pellet embedded in her eye, she has to stay isolated for a week to 10 days. So Sophie is not going to be able to understand why she can't be with her mom there. And she's going to have to spend the time with me. Yeah. Well, that's okay, but she just isn't going to understand it. In fact, Sophie and I will be here next Sunday, but Lorraine has to stay away from people until she has it removed the following week. So thank you, everybody. I mean this from the bottom of my heart. Thank you all for your prayers. I know it has helped.
We are very grateful to God for everything He's lined up for her, and we'll be praying.
Absolutely. More prayers coming. More prayers.
Absolutely. Pray for my dad. His name is Hubert, and he's having some internal bleeding. We know why. It's a result of proton therapy about 14, 15 years ago. But it does cause this, and it can get kind of severe, so it's severe right now.
Many of you already know that Jerry, he's on hospice care as well, and then gets the nurse visit a couple of times a week. So, but last time I saw, he was in a good spirit, and he had a good appetite and all that. And has done marvelously in spite of the bone marrow cancer. So continue to pray for Jerry as well.
I'm Trudy Baird, and I'd like prayers for Alita Kirker. She had a little infection, and then that was working, however, the medicine, but then she had a reaction, severe reaction to the medicine, and that's why she's been out of kilter for a little bit. So hoping that she'll she's coming around now, but it kind of threw her for a loop. She didn't know she was allergic to it. Thank you.
I'd also like to ask for continued prayers for Rachel and prayers for my brother. He works in a CNA facility in Western New York, and he's got COVID, so he's on a vacation he wasn't hoping for a week. Yes. His name is Tom.
Tom. And I, this is Susan, and I ask for travel mercies as I will be traveling to Kennewick, Pasco, Washington next week and won't be here on Sunday. My brother's getting married, so I hope all will be well.
This is Mark. I have a joy. A while back, I had asked for prayers for my sister-in-law, Shirley. She was having a lot of health problems. We were able to talk to my brother and Shirley yesterday, and she's doing a lot better. Apparently, they found some kind of a chemical imbalance, and they've got her on some medication that's just done wonders. So thanks for everyone's prayers.
If anyone on Zoom has a prayer request, please raise your hand and unmute.
Okay, it is now time for our unison prayer, if you'll please join me. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth. And in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord,
was conceived by the
Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. The third day he rose from the dead, he ascended into heaven, and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
Amen. Let us join together in silent prayer. We are coming from all different walks of life, different situations. But we come together in this place of worship because we have the same faith in God. And we know that faith can do amazing things. By faith, we've been saved. And by faith, we have this free access to reach to God. So let us bring all our cares, our concerns to the one who created us, who sent us to this world, and trust in his loving care. Let us remember all the prayers that have been brought up to our attention and ask God, God's mercies, God's healing upon all those who need God's presence and God's touch in their lives. Lord Jesus, you know our life circumstance, you know our hearts, you know our need, you know everything about us. You know our struggles, our troubles, our worries, our concerns. Lord, as we walk along this life journey, we come across different problems or even same problems that discourage us. And remember, Lord, by your grace, we have overcome them in our past. And we know, O Lord, by our faith in you, we can deal with whatever the challenges this life brings, and we can overcome them all. So, Lord, this time of prayer is our time of confession. Confessing how powerful we are, how fragile and weak we are, and how we can be victorious as we trust in you. So, Lord, we come together with this desire to be filled with your grace, to be touched by your hand, the hand, mighty hand that can do anything. We have come to be healed because you are our healer. Healer of our dark past, healer of the hurts deep within, healer of our weakening body. So, O Lord Jesus, come unto us. We welcome you, we invite you and your Holy Spirit into our hearts, into our lives, into this church, into our communities, into this world. Lord, manifest your power, your love for us, that we may witness with our own eyes that you are the risen Christ. You are the living God. You are there with us, even when we struggle to see you. You are near to us. You are in our arms' reach. May we feel you. May we touch you. May we experience your love once more, that we may restore the joy of living in the midst of our troubles. As we lift up our prayers unto you, O Lord, we submit ourselves to your care, and we commit ourselves to continue to carry out your will in our lives. So, Lord, fulfill your good and perfect will among us. And now we want to join our prayers, praying together, our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
Our next hymn is number 526, What a Friend We Have in Jesus.
What a friend we have in Jesus, all our sins and griefs to bear. What a privilege to carry everything to to God in prayer. Oh, what peace we often forfeit! Oh, what limitless pain we bear! All because we do not care. To God in prayer. Every trial and temptation, is there trouble anywhere? We should never be discouraged. Take it to the Lord in prayer. Can we find the friends so faithful? Oh, will all our sorrows share? Jesus knows our every weakness. Take it to the Lord in prayer. Are we weak and heavy laden? Come, but be the Lord of care. Precious Savior, still our refuge. Take it to the Lord in prayer. Do thy friends despise, forsake thee. Take it to the Lord in prayer. In his arms he'll take and shield thee. I will find the solace there.
Our scripture reading today is from the book of Matthew, chapter 6, verses 25 through 34. Do not worry. Therefore I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more than food? And the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air. They neither sow nor reap, nor gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? And which of you, by worrying, can add a single hour to your span of life? And why do you worry about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. Yet I tell you, even Solomon in all his glory was not clothed like one of these. But if God so clothes the grass of the field, which is alive today and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, you of little faith? Therefore, do not worry, saying, what will we eat? Or what will we drink? Or what will we wear? For it is the Gentiles who seek all these things, and indeed your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. So do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will bring worries of its own. Today's trouble is enough for today. The word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God. Good morning, everybody. So good to see you all. I welcome you and pray that we will experience the power of the Holy Spirit working in our hearts and in our lives as we worship together this morning. And especially as we listen to the Word of God, we will all hear the God's voice speaking to us with a message that we all need to hear. James had been excessively anxious for years. It got to the point where his compulsive worrying was ruining his life. So he went to a psychiatrist who recommended that James hire a professional worrier. Have you heard of that profession? Or a professional worrier. After he'd been working with the specialist for a few months, James' friend, John, noticed a change. "What happened?" John asked. "You don't worry about anything anymore." "I hire a professional worrier," James answered. "That must cost a fortune," John said. "Not necessarily. He only charges $50 a day, $1,500 a month. Considering he carries the weight of all my worries 24/7, it's a bargain," James said sheepishly. "Still, his fee is too high. How can you ever afford to pay him?" John exclaimed. "I don't know," James said. "That's his problem." The warrior James hired must have been a really good one. James does not worry anymore and does not pay for the treatment. Ordinary people like you and I easily become unstable, anxious, and depressed about a lot of things, especially about how to sustain life. Wouldn't it be wonderful if we could hire a professional worrier and let him or her take up our worries? He or she would take all our care dutifully for a fee, and it would be worth our money. But there is no such profession. Worrying subjugates people instead of making them stronger. The good news is that we don't have to live this worry. We can defeat it, in fact. We can defeat worrying with a correct understanding and correct attitude. Listen to Jesus and his wisdom about worrying. Jesus' Sermon on the Mount is familiar to us, and his teaching on worry is even more familiar. But we may have yet to notice that Jesus used a very practical and easy-to-understand approach to teach uselessness in worrying. Jesus asked a rhetorical question to make his point. Can any of you, by worrying, add a single hour to your life? This is the same question as, can we grow more hair by worrying? Can my worrying help the stock market perform better? Those of us with kids worry about our kids constantly. Can our worry make our kids happy, healthy, and successful? Worrying does not change any of our life circumstances. Think about the things that makes us worry right now and examine them closely. Have our worry changed anything for the better? Nothing. Eckhart Tolle the author of The Power of Now, said this: worrying pretends to be necessary. It just pretend. Worrying pretends to be necessary, but serves no useful purpose. Worrying is useless, and yet we worry regardless. Worrying about things that are beyond our power and control is even more irrational. You know, I used to worry about recycling. My rationale behind this was that hundreds of millions of tons of plastics go to waste each year. And it takes decades, they said, even centuries, for them to decompose. In the meantime, nanoplastics are consumed by fish. You know, this is a sad news for those of you who love sushi, okay? They are observed in the soil and ended up in the human body. This world problem was on my mind whenever I saw plastic. And one day, I finally decided to accept that I could not solve this problem by myself. I mean, I actually did. I still recycle as much as I can, but recycling all the plastic waste in the world is not on my shoulders anymore, and I'm happy about that. The geographic background of Jesus' Sermon on the Mount resonate with Jesus' teaching on needless worrying. The Mount of Beatitude is located in northern Israel, off the shore of the Sea of Galilee. So Jesus was sitting right on the mount, looking down the Sea of Galilee, and the crowd saw that too. The greater force controlled the weather, wind, rain, and storms over the sea, and fishermen's interests and wish do not and cannot affect the atmosphere. Therefore, they wisely accepted the weather pattern instead of worrying about it. Another practical approach to understanding that worrying is needless is we are more valuable than what we worry about. Compare food and clothes with ourselves. Which is more valuable? Means of basic sustenance are important, but are obviously less valuable than us. Actually, there is nothing more valuable than us, according to Paul's word. He said in Romans 8:32, "He who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also, along with him, graciously give us all things including those basic necessities?" Jesus also used very practical examples to prove God's care for us, such as birds, flowers, and grass. They are found everywhere, and their numbers are incalculable. Researchers say that about 50 billion birds exist in the world. The number of flowers is surely more than the number of birds. Between 250,000 to 400,000 species of flowering plants exist. Just the kind of flowers are there many. And the actual number of flowers can easily go higher than the number of birds. The number of blades of grass in the world is even more than the number of flowers. These plentifully found objects in nature plainly point out that the proof of God's care for us is undeniable. In summary, worries of today such as, what shall we eat? What shall we drink? What shall we wear? Are useless. What about our worries for tomorrow? Jesus said, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. Again, let us think about the word of Jesus from a practical perspective. If we indeed have enough trouble for today, what does that mean? That means there is no more room within us to take in any extra worries. And worrying about the future troubles today is simply not practical. When President Lincoln was on his way to Washington to be inaugurated, he spent some time in New York with Horace Greeley and told him an anecdote that was meant to be an answer to the question that everybody was asking him. Are we really to have a civil war? In his circuit riding days as a lawyer, Lincoln and his companions had crossed many swollen rivers, but the Fox River was still ahead of them, and they said one to another, if these streams give us so much trouble, how shall we get over the Fox River? When darkness fell, they stopped for the night at a log tavern, where they fell in with a Methodist pastor in the district who rode through the country in all kinds of weather and knew all about the Fox River. They gathered about him and asked him about the present state of the river. Oh, yes, replied the Methodist circuit rider. I know all about the Fox River. I have crossed it often and understand it well. But I have one fixed rule concerning the Fox River. I never cross it till I reach it. It is senseless and impractical to worry about what has not yet happened. But they do worry about the future. A future event that bothered people so much, you know what that is dying. Does anyone of you fear death? If you do, I have a prophetic word about when you will die. So get your pencil ready and write it down. Okay? You will not die until you die. That's when you will die. So why do you worry about dying today? It is useless. According to the Associated Press, in June 1997, an employee at a Massachusetts store found a $20 bill on the washroom floor with a note folded inside. Help, kidnap, call highway patrol. The note said on one side and listed two Oklahoma phone numbers. My Ford van, cream and blue, Oklahoma. It said on the other side. The police were notified, and after they determined the names of the elderly couple registered at those phone numbers, Floyd and Rita Rupp, they put out an all-points bulletin. The media published photos and descriptions of the missing couple. The two daughters of the couple sat anxiously by their phones, waiting for news as the interstate police search lasted 24 hours. Then a phone call was received at the office of Mr. Rupp. The office manager heard a familiar voice report. "I'm sitting here enjoying the views of the ocean." It was none other than the missing man. "You have no idea what's going on, do you?" said the office manager. No, he didn't. But when he found out, he and his wife were quite embarrassed. It turned out that his wife had been feeling insecure about driving back to Oklahoma, which she would be making alone. She had written the kidnap note and kept it in her purse just in case she needed it. It had accidentally fallen out of her purse in the store washroom. So they were never been kidnapped, never been lost. It's just a note that she wrote, just in case. Worrying about what has not yet happened is meaningless and adversely affects our lives today. Corrie ten Boom said this, "Worry does not empty tomorrow of its sorrow. It empties today of its strength." Jesus is absolutely correct. Worrying does not do any good from a practical point of view. Moreover, we have better fish to fry. That is, have confidence in God's care and seek first God's interest and his business. Let me read from Philippians 4, verses 6 and 7 from the translation called The Message. "Let us not fret or worry. Instead of worrying, pray. Let petitions and praises shape our worries into prayers, letting God know our concerns. Before we know it, a sense of God's wholeness, everything coming together for good, will come and settle us down. It's wonderful what happens when Christ displaces worry at the center of our life." Amen. Let us now prepare our hearts to come to the table of God's mercy. And if you would, you can respond as it is printed on the hymnal, page 13, or follow along with me. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts. We lift them up to the Lord. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is right to give our thanks and praise. It is right and a good and joyful thing, always and everywhere, to give thanks to you, Father Almighty, Creator of heaven and earth. And so, with your people on earth and all the company of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn. Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. Holy are you, and blessed is your Son, Jesus Christ. By the baptism of his suffering, death, and resurrection, you gave birth to your church, delivered us from slavery to sin and death, and made with us a new covenant by water and the Spirit. On the night in which he gave himself up for us, he took bread, gave thanks to you, broke the bread, gave it to his disciples, and said, "Take, eat, this is my body which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." When the supper was over, he took the cup, gave thanks to you, gave it to his disciples, and said, Drink from this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, poured out for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. And so, in remembrance of these, your mighty acts in Jesus Christ, we offer ourselves in praise and thanksgiving as a holy and living sacrifice, in union with Christ's offering for us, as we proclaim the mystery of faith. Christ has died, Christ is risen, Christ will come again. Pour out your Holy Spirit on us gathered here, and on these gifts of bread and wine, make them be for us the body and the blood of Christ, that we may be for the world the body of Christ, redeemed by his blood. By your Spirit, make us one with Christ, one with each other, and one in ministry to all the world, until Christ comes in final victory and we feast at his heavenly banquet. Through your Son, Jesus Christ, with the Holy Spirit in your holy church, all honor and glory is yours, Almighty Father, now and forever. Amen. As we participate in taking this piece of bread, let us remember the broken body of Christ for our salvation. As we drink from the cup that reminds us the blood of Christ, let us remember the unconditional love of Christ, who shed his blood for the forgiveness of our sins. So now, with thanksgiving, let us eat the bread and drink from the cup. Lord Jesus, thank you for your dying love for us on that cross. We will continue to cherish the small crosses that you have given unto us and commit ourselves to proclaim this good news of salvation to people who still need to hear it. Thank you for this wonderful reminder of your great love. In Jesus' name, amen.
It is now time for the presentation of our tithes and offerings. You may leave an envelope in the plate as you leave the sanctuary, or mail it to the office, or bring it into the office. We now have special music from David and Colleen.
I certainly hope that most of you will not become tired of hearing this old familiar hymn, because I assure you that I'll never become tired of delivering it here. So, and it seems a bit appropriate considering the stormy weather and deluge that we're going to be experiencing in the next 3 or 4 days, right? We'll be lucky if none of us drown. So if you just, if you get into trouble, just look for the lower light. Brightly beams our Father's mercy from his lighthouse evermore. But to us he gives the keeping of the lights along the shore. Let the lower lights be burning, cast a gleam across the wave. Some poor fainting, struggling seaman, you may rescue, you may save. Dark the night of sin has fallen, loud the angry billows roar, desperate eyes are watching, longing for those lights along the shore. Let the lower lights be burning, cast a gleam across the wave. Some poor fainting, struggling seaman, you may rescue, you may save. Trim your feeble lamp, my brother. Some poor sinner, tempest-tossed, trying now to make God's harbor in the darkness may be lost. So let your lower lights be burning, cast a gleam across the wave. Some poor fainting, struggling sinner, you may rescue, you may save. You may rescue, you may save.
From whom all blessings flow. Praise God, all creatures ye below. Alleluia, alleluia. Praise God, the source of all our gifts. Praise Jesus Christ, whose power of lives. Praise the Spirit, Holy Spirit. Alleluia, alleluia, alleluia.
Lord Jesus Christ, as you gave yourself, your whole being for our salvation, we give back our whole self to you and to your service. This is a token of our dedication and our commitment to you and your church. Receive this offering, bless it, that it may be used to extend your kingdom in the world today. In Jesus' name, amen.
Our closing hymn today is found in an insert in your bulletin, His Eye is on the Sparrow.
Why should I feel these courage? Why should the shadows come? Why should my heart be lonely and long for heaven and home? When Jesus is my portion, my constant friend is He. His eyes is on the sparrow, and I know He watches me. His eyes is on the sparrow, and I know He watches me. I sing because I'm happy. I sing because I'm free. For His eyes is on the sparrow, and I know He watches me. Let not your heart be troubled. His tender word I hear, and resting on His goodness, I lose my doubt and fear. Though by the path He leads me, but one step I may see, His eyes is on the sparrow, and I know He watches me. His eyes is on the sparrow, and I know He watches me. Brothers, I'm happy. I sing because I'm free. For His eyes is on the sparrow, and I know He watches me. Whenever I am tempted, whenever clouds arise, when songs gives place to sighing, when hope within me dies, I draw the closer to Him. From care He sets me free. His eyes is on the sparrow, and I know He cares for me. His eyes is on the sparrow, and I know He watches me. I sing because I'm happy. I sing because I'm free. For His eyes is on the sparrow,
let us pray. Lord Jesus, we know that whenever we face problems, the problem seems to be so big, and we seem to be so small like sparrows. But we are reminded of your love once more, Lord. Even you watch over a small sparrow. You watch over us when we feel so small. And we thank you. We thank you for your love. We thank you for your presence. And Lord, as we go out from this place to the world and face our problems and our realities, may we never be discouraged, remembering your love, trusting your loving care. Therefore, send us forth out back to the world in your peace. In Jesus' name, amen.
Go now in peace, never be afraid. God will go with you each hour, every day. Go now in faith, steadfast, strong, and true. Know he will guide you in all you do. Go now in love and show you believe. Reach out to others so all the world can see. God will be there, watching from above. Oh, now in peace, in faith.